So having understood that, we finished verse number 18. We'll read that verse and then we'll start with verse number 19. So we'll read both verse 18 and verse 19. Jyotisham api tad jyotihi. Tamasa paramuchyate. Jnanam gneyam jnanagamyam. Hridi sarvasya vishthitam. Jyotisham api tad jyotihi. Tamasa paramuchyate. Jnanam gneyam jnanagamyam. Hridi sarvasya vishthitam. So in number 18, the Lord says, as you studied very recently, that the light of all lights, the knower of all, the one that knows not only light but also knows darkness. Darkness has to be known. When you go into a room and it's dark, you know it is dark. You're not ignorant of darkness. And when the light comes on, you know it is light. So that knower which knows the light, which means the knowledge of the world, and also knows the darkness, which means the ignorance that we have. That is to be known. That knower is to be known. So what the Lord is saying is that awareness is the light that illumines the thoughts, which in turn illumine and instruct the mind, which in turn illumines and instructs the sense organs, which in turn can see this world and comprehend that this is not this plurality that you see, but this is that projection of that anadi, that eternal, that never was not there. That which appears to be ever changing is nothing but a projection of that which never changes. That is to be known. And when we understand this intellectually, we realize that's me. That is me. I am that. For example, the dream. Who creates the dream? Who creates the dream? Mind. Who enjoys the dream? Mind. And one wakes up, what happens? Knows right away. There was no dream. I mean, there was no reality to that dream. And there was no reality to that enjoyment. Like Gurudev would say, if you ate excessively in dream, you would still be hungry when you awake. He would also say that the bride that you marry in the dream is not your real life bride. Better be sure about that. The point is what? This is why this world is described as a long projected dream. Because each one of us sees this world very, very differently, uniquely, based on our combination of the three gunas. Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, that projects our own customized image of the things and beings, which is essentially this world, including us. And that is where all our problems are, because this is our customized dream. It's not reality. So when you take away all that customizes this dream, what remains is you, the awakened self. When the dream is taken away, what remains is the awakened self. Right? Now that is to be practiced in meditation and made your own. Intellectual comprehension is so easy for all of us. We are brilliant people. Our newer generation is even brighter than us because they have access to so many tools of knowledge, secular knowledge. They are sharper. They are brighter. But the subtleness of the intelligence is not there. Guruji always says that everybody is intelligent. Very few people use intelligence. That's what Guruji says. Everybody is intelligent. Very few use intelligence. Now, this is a general statement. You can't point out individually. You have to understand the meaning behind it. The meaning behind it is that even though we are intelligent, we refuse to use it in the right way to become what we ought to become. And to be happy, because what is our goal? Using intelligence, using everything, anything we do in this world, what is our goal? To be happy. Right? That is the only goal in life, right? 200 years back, when there was nothing available, people were okay. Now we have so much more available for our pleasure, and we are still miserable. Because we don't use that intelligence. No, it's okay. Always. I agree with you entirely. My point is that compared to 200-300 years back today, we have so much of technological advancement, this, that, and yet we can't seem to be happy, is what we are saying. Yeah, of course. Nature of us, human beings' nature on the day one. Why are we miserable? Because we think happiness is somewhere outside. So we run after it. We think this is what we are. And once we think like that, we know so many limitations that we have. I have arthritis in all my joints. I have a very bad heart. I have stomach problems. I had stroke, and so I've lost some of my voice quality. So I'm miserable because I keep thinking about that. And yet, every day I say, I tell you, my body feels good today. What do you mean your body feels good today? If you think your body feels good, that means you are not the body. My body, my book, my pen, my necklace. Whenever you say my, it tells you two things. One, you are the owner of that thing and you are not that thing. And so therefore, we are seriously confused when we act in day-to-day life. We keep saying my body, my mind. My intellect, I was hurt, my ego was hurt. I tell you, she didn't even look at me. God, you know, for 10 years we were together and blah, 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 blah. And she just passed and didn't even look at me. I tell you, it hurts. Why does it hurt? Because you think you have this body, mind and intellect and ego. That is why it hurts. So that is the purpose. What he says is exactly that. From the day one, We have forgotten that happiness is here. So with that, we know where we have to go. So let's see. Verse number 19. Let's read verse number 19 and we'll follow. Okay. Iti kshetram tatha jnanam. Gneyam choktam samasatah. Madhvakta etadvignaya madbhavayopapadyate The Lord says, Iti, I have briefly stated the field as well as the knowledge, and what the Lord means thereby is the knower of the field and the knowledge of that. That's what the Lord means. The Lord says, thus, I have briefly stated the Kshetrajna, the Kshetra as well as Kshetrajna and the knowledge of it. And then the Lord says, Gneyam cha, Gneyam, what is to be known? We talked about that. What is to be known? That word Gneyam refers to verses 13 through 18. That's what we learned. From verses 13 through 18, we learn what is Gneyam, what is really to be known. Madbhakta, my devotee, etad vignaya, having known that, which is to be known, Gneyam, my devotee, madbhava yopapadyate, becomes one with me. That's what the Lord said. So, first things first. We said that the intellectual comprehension is knowledge, jnanam. The making that knowledge our own through practice is jnayam, vijnanam. It's also known as vijnanam. Intellectual comprehension is one thing. Being able to practice and leave that knowledge is totally different. Yes, we just said a few minutes back, we are all professors. See? We need to practice. So, having known that knowledge, having comprehended that knowledge and having made it part of my life or one's life, the Lord says, my devotee, such devotee, becomes one with me. So there is a condition now. My devotee, the Lord says, my devotee. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry. The Lord says, my devotee. Who is this devotee? We learned in Bhakti Yoga, right? Surrender to the Lord. What here it means is that devotion doesn't mean just surrendering to the Lord, but it means that you must have that absolute, unqualified love and devotion for the Lord, which is essentially Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is practice after you practice Karma Yoga. So when it is said, my devotee, the Lord assumes that you have gone through Karma Yoga practice and purified your mind. And now through Bhakti Yoga, you have further purified your mind such that now you have clear thinking at the intellectual level. Because it's in the clear medium that the sun reflects the most. Right? We just talked about that. The reflection, quality of reflection depends on the quality of medium. So how to clean up the media, which is us, the mind and the intellect, is through Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. So the Lord assumes here that we have done our job. It doesn't happen like this. You know, somewhere in Tulsidas's Ramayana said that if you take Lord Rama's name at the end, you will be given moksha. No, it doesn't, okay? What Tulsidasji says is, if you have practiced the Lord's name throughout your life, then it will come on your lips automatically at the end of your life. That will make you one with Him. This old man was dying, wealthy guy, big shop in town, and three young boys who helped him in this business. But the poor guy was dying and everybody was gathered by his bed. And the owner, he got up from his bed. He sat up. Where is my old age, Bachu? His name was Bachu. So Bachu came by. Papa, I'm right here. Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. I'm right by you. Do not worry about, okay? You just rest. You just rest. Take the Lord's name. You just rest. He again said, where is my middle one? Kachu. So Kachu came by. Papa, I'm here. Why do you worry about us? We are all right, doing very well. We are sitting by you. I'm holding your hand actually. Can you feel it? Please rest. Please rest. Please take the Lord's name. Please rest. He wakes up again. Where is my little one? The little one comes and says, Papa, I'm right here. I'm by your feet. Can't you see me? Right there. See? I'm right there. Looking at you. The old man gets mad. He says, if all three of you are here, then who the hell is minding my shop? Because that's all he has done. All is his life. At the deathbed, he cannot but think of his shop. Because all his life, that's all he has done. The Lord's name is not going to come to you. And in traditional fashion, when in India somebody dies, they carry the body on their shoulders. Ram bolo bhai Ram. Ram bolo. Speak of Ram or chant the name of the Lord Rama. He's dead already. Why are you doing this? What is wrong with you folks? He's dead and now you're chanting Ram bolo. Chant the name of the Lord. He's done. Practice now. Now practice, 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 practice. Whatever you practice today will come to your help when you need it. Why do you go to Kuman? Little kids go to Kuman. Hindustanis, Indian kids always end up in Kuman. Because they want to be up to date and be able to get good grades. And what does Kuman teach you? Repetition. Repeat everything. Repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. Do the same thing over and over and over and over again. So that when you're sitting at your desk giving your exam, it just comes automatically. Tuk, tuk, tuk. Right? See, Michael knows. That's how it is in life. If you don't remember the Lord in your day-to-day life, everything you do, you don't need to set a separate time to remember the Lord. Anything and everything you do can be done while taking the Lord's name. He doesn't need any exclusive time. So the idea is, we need to make that knowledge ours. We need to move on from jnanam, intellectual comprehension, to jnayam, making it our own, then only it will help us. Then only it will make our lives better. And then only we will be able to make others' lives better. Because this is a process. Hardly anyone out of hundreds of thousands, millions of us, hardly anyone comprehends this so quickly and so immediately that that person becomes a realized soul, a saint, a seer, a mahatma. What is required is that absolute faith in the Guru's teaching and the Lord's name. Then you become that. You don't need to be extraordinarily educated or anything. Nisargadatta Maharaj is one of the greatest mahatmas of our recent times in India. He had a little teeny mini 4-foot shop. He used to make paan for everybody. Paan ka galla. Totally uneducated. He used to make paan. Betel leaf that you put your mouth and makes your leaf. I mean, here. What is this? Yeah, makes your lips red and all that. That's what he was. His guru gave him a mantra. You recite this. He had such enormous and absolute faith. He became a realized soul. Gurudev used to go sit at his feet. Think of that. What it means is, each one of us have equal chance. None of us is any better. None of us is any worse. Every one of us have equally good chance to get there. But you have to do your work. Others cannot do it for you. This is the path where you have to walk individually, your own path. Nobody else can do it. Your wife will not come with you, your husband will not come with you, your kids will not come with you, your relations will not come with you, your money will not come with you, your home will not come with you, your car will not come with you. Only you have to go. So verse number 19, the Lord says, I have taught you so far in brief what is Kshetra, the field of play, field of knowledge, and Kshetragna, the knower of that field of knowledge, and that knowledge, the means to gain that understanding, and also Gneyam, what is really to be known, having known which, that devotee of mine who has practiced Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, and purified his or her mind and intellect, will attain this knowledge and become one with me. Because in Vedas it is said, the knower of the Brahman becomes Brahman. It's not something to be known. It's not an object to be known. In secular life, that's all we do. We know an object, a thing or a being, whatever. In spiritual knowledge, it's not an object of knowledge. It is the subject, the very subject. You know your real nature. That's what the Lord says in verse number 19. By the way, verse number 19, 20, 21, and 22, these four verses, the Lord establishes oneness of Kshetra and Kshetragna, the field of knowledge and the knower of the field. And the oneness of that is established through these four verses. Verse number 19, 20, 21st, and 22nd. Okay. So we'll follow up that next time, and we'll continue then. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.